Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Happy Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. It's so good to have my mom and dad here today. If you'll allow me, just take a few moments. Many of you have been praying for my dad and still are praying for my dad. He's got some things going on, and so it's good to have you here today. We love you and know that we're praying for you, but it's an honor to have you here. I honor you today, Mom. Make me cry. So we're going to change course here a little bit, but I've often heard Mother's Day called We Made It Day. Do any of you moms out there feel this way today? I kind of feel that way, and I don't have little kids at home anymore, but this week has been a crazy week for our family. So Steve and I had network council the first part of the week, and then on Wednesday, all the kids took off work, and we headed down to Springfield to celebrate Steve because he finished his master's program in March. Yay! And we haven't celebrated him yet, but anyway, we went to Silver Dollar City on Thursday, and I want you all to know that I rode two roller coasters. And the last one of the day was the Time Traveler. And let me tell you, I'd been on it before. I think it was 2018 the last time we went, but I had been on it before, so I thought, hey, I can do this. You know, it was fun. I can do this. And so we get on, and I'm sitting by Taylor, and Caleb and Marla are behind us. And guess what? We got the front car. Has anybody been on that ride before? Yeah. So this is how it went. you're level, and all of a sudden, we're facing forward. Taylor and I are facing forward. Caleb and Marla behind us. We drop immediately. And then it turns. And then you go upside down. And this is the way the whole ride was. You're turning this way, and you're going around and upside down. And I was screaming really loud. And Steve and Austin didn't go on the ride. They decided to be dads and papas. But anyway, at one point Austin said, he wasn't even looking at the ride, and he said, there's Mom. So anyway, life can feel like a roller coaster when you're a mom sometimes, right? It's kind of crazy. Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 1, I'm really excited about what God's going to do in this message and who he's elevating this morning. I hope that we all leave today with a greater respect for women and your understanding of the value that they make into the environments we are in, whether it's at home or the workplace or in our environment or the government. What they find themselves in, they can be who they are called to be, and they should be acknowledged for that. So we're going to look at two women in the Bible today. They're both very important and very influential. So we're going to jump right into scripture here, Matthew 1, 20 and 21. And I'm reading this out of the Voice. It's a paraphrased version of the Bible. I just like the way that it read when I was studying, and so we're going to give it a go. Now, when Joseph had decided to act on his instincts, a messenger of the Lord came to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to wed Mary and bring her into your home and family as your wife. She did not sneak off and sleep with someone else. Rather, she conceived the baby she now carries through the miraculous wonder-working of the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because this Jesus is the person who will save all of his people from sin. Verse 24, Joseph woke up from his dream and did exactly what the messenger had told him to do. He married Mary and brought her into his home as his wife, though he did not consummate their marriage until after her son was born. And when the baby was born, Joseph named him Jesus, Savior. I want to start this today by saying I love being a boy mom. I have loved every minute of it, every season of it. It's been a very adventurous time, and it's been fun. I grew up with two older brothers, and then I raised two boys. So I've been around a lot of boys and men in my life. I have also been around a lot of women as the Lord has given me opportunity and ministry to be around a lot of women. And as a woman, I love details. Do I have any other detailed women out in the room today? When our boys were younger, probably preteen, teenage years, and I told Austin and Caleb, I'm going to talk a lot about them today, so be ready. But when our boys were preteen, teenage years, I thought it was good for me to ask a lot of questions. When they would go out and do something, I'd be like, who was there? What did you do? What did they wear? What did you talk about? You know, I mean, I still do that with them, but back then it was kind of like, mom's asking all the questions. I still do that, but you know, you have to be good with what questions to ask when you have boys. Because if you ask too many questions, they just probably, I mean, some boys might, but they just won't answer. And so then I can remember around this same time in life when they were teenagers, preteens, being at a life group in our own home. We did a Mark Gunger life group on marriage. And I think you can look it up as a YouTube video. I think it's called Men's Brains and Women's Brains, I think is what it is. But the topic was the difference between men and women. So I think he referenced men are like boxes and women are like spaghetti. Has anybody ever seen that? Yeah, it's a good one. So it was a night that marked me as a mom of boys, because sometimes when I would ask them questions in that season in life, I wouldn't get much of an answer. And so then I'd be telling Steve, do you think something's wrong? You know, are they okay? Is something wrong? And you know, Steve would assure me nothing's wrong. But I didn't really fully understand what was happening. Sometimes they would share with me about their day, sometimes not. But I would like to say that if they did share with me, then I would begin to give them everything that I know. And I probably still do that, don't I? Austin's back there shaking his head. So I can remember that night thinking that this is what I needed to know as a mom, because I was good at giving my two cents worth, and still am, but it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, relax, Robin. You don't have to solve everything, but you need to be a safe haven for them to come home to, and to let them know that they are allowed to have conflict, to not know, allowed to not have the next move, but I had to choose to be a safe place and a soft place to land. Women are made to be soft places. When I thought about that, I thought about how Jesus was made to be sent on earth and made to be in Mary before he set foot on earth. Mary needed to only create a safe place for the Savior to be born and to be developed. Mary was given a womb, and that womb would hold life. It would create life, and it would change the course of history. God didn't just put us on earth to solve problems, but he has given us power to nurture. In fact, you as women are nurturing powerhouses. You have the ability to contain and hold life and develop it until it is safe to be on earth. Men and women are different. We don't have to make conclusions about that. We can see it in our genetics, in our bodies, and in our stories that God created us. Women are created in their bodies to build, sustain, develop, and protect life, and they don't even have to try. A woman finds out she's pregnant, and all of a sudden, her body goes into action. It begins to grow the baby and feed the baby and develop the baby until finally the baby is big enough to where she doesn't want it in there anymore, right? We have someone from our church that just had a baby at 9 o'clock last night. She was due on May 8th, and she finally had the baby. She wanted that thing out. So congratulate Bart and Jean Balthazar if you see them. They have a new granddaughter. Women are created to create safe places for people. We are created to be safe houses for the vulnerable, for the weak, for the immature. God knew this because Matthew 1, Mary and Joseph were living in turbulent times. God decides to send Jesus onto the earth and decides that Mary would be the best place for him to land. Now God, being all-powerful, all-knowing, sent his son, fully God, fully man, to live on the earth for 33 years. And God thought it best and most safe place to send my spirit is to the womb of a woman. She would take care of him. And that's pretty powerful. It wasn't a perfect woman, a well-educated or perfect woman, a woman that had it all together. No, this was a teen girl, an unwed woman who had no special family lineage, no hierarchy of status or clout. She was just a woman who the Spirit of God decided this is the safest place to be. I wonder if God knew the Son of God would be safe because she didn't have it all figured out. She didn't know how to do everything. She didn't have to decide how to do it. She just happened to be pregnant with the Spirit of God, and she lived a supernatural reality in a very natural season. I think about this for many of us. We wonder if God will use us. If you are a woman, God wants to use you. When you don't have it together, when you don't know how to do it, because your body, your brain, your propensities, and your capacities are unique to you. God is not confused of why he created you, how he made you. In the Psalms, it says, before you were in the womb, he saw you and he formed you and he made you there. He knows every day in your life, every hair on your head. He knows if you were made a woman or a man. He knows the patience and the successes he has given you. And he knows that as a woman, he knows that our innate nature is to nurture. Nurturing doesn't mean that it has to look like this or act like that. That would be limiting to the power of nurturing. I mean, some of you in here lead businesses. You raise families. You're the best aunts on the face of the earth, and you're going to be a nurturing powerhouse to the world around you. There is such a uniqueness between men and women. I mean, God didn't look at Joseph and thought, let's give Joseph the baby. Why do you think that is? I mean, well, I think that he wanted to make it through childhood, probably. So, I mean, have you ever seen the difference between a father and a mother? We parent different. We're different. He created us that way. I've also decided that living in a house with all guys, that women want to keep everyone alive and men just want to kill each other. Are there any other boy moms in the room? Julie, I know. Yeah, I mean, when we lived in Goodland, we had a long staircase in the parsonage there, and our boys would get at the top of that thing, and they would slide as fast as they could. One of them slid so fast and hard that they went through the wall, so we had to repair the wall. I won't say which one it is, but it might have been Caleb. I'm not sure, but... So the reason that you're alive today is because some women decided that you needed to be alive, right? Another story I have, the difference between men and women, when we lived in Goodland, we were having a blizzard, and the roads closed, and pretty soon the doorbell rings. We still had power at that moment when the doorbell rang, And this couple from our community had been driving by the church and saw someone's car in the parking lot. So they stopped and asked them if they were okay. And they said, yeah, we are stranded. The hotels are full. And so they were kind enough to drive them 2 miles to our house, ring our doorbell, and say, could these people come to your house? So what are you supposed to say? You know, sure, we'll invite these strangers into our house, which we did. And about an hour into it, the lights went out. And so, we're visiting in the dark, you know, trying to figure what we're going to eat that night without power. And come nighttime, it's still blizzarding, hotels are full, so we asked them, you know, if they would like to stay with us. Austin's bedroom was down in the basement, and so we had him move upstairs in Caleb's room. And Steve and I got in bed that night, and I was like, you think we're okay? I mean, are we, you know, you think we're safe? It was just, my nature was just like, this is a little uncomfortable to have strangers in the house when you have two little boys. And Steve was like, oh, yeah, we're fine. I'll protect you. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do to protect us? He's like, I don't know. I'll figure it out if they come up the stairs and try to do something to us. So that's another difference between man and woman. Man, I gave them what they needed. We will all wake up fine in the morning. Woman, I'm thinking about us living through the night. I'm thinking about security, my family, my nurturing. I don't think he's not thinking about it. It's just different. Men and women are just different. God knew that Mary's body would be a living sacrifice for him in the same way his body would become a living sacrifice for us. So when a woman walks in her full calling, she creates safe places in dangerous times. In a world that's full of conflict and of danger and things that could hurt us, a woman is spending her energy making sure you are safe and that you will be alive tomorrow. In a moment, we're going to look at three environments that women create. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 4. But I want to stay on this for just a moment. I know it's Mother's Day, and we're talking about women, and you're thinking, are you going to spend the rest of the day talking about women? Yes, we are. The church is made up of 60% of the church is made up of women, and so I think it's okay if we spend a day today to talk about them. So she creates safe places. That's what a woman does. Safe means protected from or not exposed to danger or risk, not likely harmed or lost. This is what the womb does. It protects the infant from danger, risk, harm, or loss. Our bodies are meant to protect life. When a woman is pregnant, the doctor will say to take your prenatal vitamins because your body will give the baby what it needs and you will be the only one that goes without, right? I can remember after I had Austin, I went to the dentist and I had 5 cavities. That's what babies do to our bodies if we don't take our prenatal vitamins. If you walk in your full identity as a woman in Christ, you can't help but nurture the world around you. You cannot help but create life around you. You will create powerful environments because of it. Women create safe places. Some of you in the room may not be a mother, you're single, or maybe you've never been able to have kids. God still wired you with an innate nature. When a woman walks in her full calling, she creates safe places. So now in Judges chapter 4, I want to talk about the prophetess Deborah. In verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess and a wife. Now this is important. Understand that the author of this passage, and if you read commentaries, you'll discover that they wanted to be so clear that this was a woman. They named her female Deborah. They called her a prophetess, and they called her a wife. Three different things, three different facets to her life. She wasn't just a woman, she wasn't just a prophetess, and she was a wife. They all had a distinct responsibility and a mandate. So Deborah is judging Israel at the time. In verse 5, it says that she was sitting under a palm tree between Raham and Bethel on the mountain. So she would just sit there. She was a judge and a prophetess, and people that had problems, they would come to her. She would give them insight. She would hear their cases, and she would give them a decree. She was also prophetic. So this was a really cool mix, if you think about it. People that had problems, she would know what the word of the Lord or what God would want them to do. She was in her full identity. Everything that happened in Scripture was intentional, and it was meant to elevate God and who he is on this earth. Deborah was intentionally there to be a prophetess, wife, and to spend time helping the people of God. Deborah is sitting there, and in verse 6, she called for Barak. Barak is a man, and he is sitting there and giving people, or she is sitting there and giving people feedback and judging, and all of a sudden, she sends for this man. When Barak gets there, she says something to him right away that gives us insight into what is happening. She calls for him, she has a word of knowledge, and then she says to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you?" Now, why is this important? It's important because she is reminding him of what God has already said to him. This isn't a new thought. If you have been in the prophetic at all, and you understand hearing the voice of God, then you know that most often what God tells you to say should be confirmation to what he's already speaking. It's an ability to confirm where two or more agree, there he is. Usually there's something happening inside of you, and the prophetic is there to confirm what God is already saying to you. He will begin to confirm it, and you will begin to see why he is saying it over to you. So she literally says to Barak, "Come, hasn't the Lord already commanded you?" And then she says to him, "Go and deploy." She reminds him that the Lord has already spoken, and she brings clarity in the midst of confusion. Women also have the ability to do this, to bring clarity in the midst of confusion. Going back to my story earlier about men are like boxes and women are like spaghetti, I mean, oftentimes I think men are able to have this amazing ability to do one thing great at one time really, really well. I mean, when I'm with my guys, they tend to do one thing really well at a time. Women have the ability to do multiple things, maybe not so well, but we do a lot of things all at once, right? I mean, it's amazing. When the boys were still living at home, we were going on a vacation to Orange Beach, Alabama. We spent the night in New Orleans, and we price-lined a room, ended up in the French Quarters. And it was getting towards evening, so it was starting to get dark, and we went down to the front desk at the restaurant to see if they would recommend a good place to eat, and so they told us, if you just walk down a block on Bourbon Street, there's a restaurant there called Oceana, really good Cajun food, and we were like, oh, we want Cajun food, but do we want to walk down Bourbon Street with our boys? And so we decided, we kind of had a plan and decided that we'd do it. And so Steve told the boys, "Your mom's going to walk ahead of you. I want you to look at the back of her head. Don't look to the right or to the left." And so that's how we walked down the block of Bourbon Street that night. And I know the world, let me say this first, the best way for them not to know what they were avoiding was because their focus was clear and it seemed to work. So hopefully that worked, because we had this plan, you know, and they were focused on my head. And I know the world mocks that, but let me say this, it's a superpower for a man, really. The fact that you can stay in one thing, and when you're at work, you're at work, and when you're at home, you're at home, this is really a gift for men to be able to do this. Men are like boxes, and women are like spaghetti. Everything is connected in our heads. I mean, when I go to tell Steve a story about maybe who I saw so-and-so at the store, and then I go to the next thing and the next thing, and he could miss the point of my story because I'm just going all over the place of who I saw and what I did and, you know, all these things before I get to the main point. Everything is connected before I reach it. We spider web, and everything connects. Women operate in stories. We story, right? Guys don't do that. It's like a one episode. It's like, did you go to school? You didn't? Okay. And that's it. And that's not bad. It's just the way that God created us. So I look at this, and Deborah has this amazing ability to see what is going on, and rather than being critical or critiquing Barak or being like, remember, God spoke to you, she's able to see the big picture of all the things that are happening, and she's actually able to facilitate the word of God in the midst of confusion. Her words broke through confusion and brought clarity. You, as a woman in today's culture, in the season you are in the business that you run, in the families that you lead, in the places that you are, the Spirit of God has anointed you to bring clarity in confusion. He has anointed you to speak certain words to your kids, to your grandkids, to your friends, to your roommates. You are creating safe places. For others, you're going to have clarity in the midst of confusion. Deborah says to Barak, you are going to take 10,000 men and you're going to fight and you're going to win. In verse 8, and then Barak says to her, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't, I'm not going to go. And you know what, ladies? Deborah does not criticize him. She doesn't say, you coward, suck it up. We are all fighting. We need to do this. She doesn't do anything like that. You will see that this woman was in her full identity and her leadership role, and she is committed to Barak being who God has called him to be. So instead of Deborah calling him a loser and walking away, she saw Barak through God's eyes. She saw him as a history maker, and she knew that in this moment, she could either write him off, dismiss him, or she could go to battle for him and speak out what needed to be said so that he could rise to the occasion and become. So Deborah and Barak gather an army. Listen to this. He said, if you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go, I won't go. He was inviting her to go on a walk. Historically, this would have been about a 5-mile walk. And he is saying, if you don't go, I'm not going to go. And you can see her saying, get my Nikes, I'm going. And she walks with him for 5 miles. She's like, no problem. You don't believe the word of the Lord. You don't have the courage to do it. I'll be by your side. I'll remind you over and over who you are called to be. I see in you what God sees in you, and I will be a vessel of the prophetic over your life. And you could just imagine what this journey was like. I love this. I don't think that they were just walking in silence, just going to pray in the Spirit calmly, going to soak for hours. You see, Barak's name in Hebrew means lightning. He was born, he was named, and back then in biblical times, names had supernatural, sovereign meaning over his life. So God saw Barak as a lightning man, a man that brought light, that came in, shattered the darkness. He saw him as that, but Barak was not living like that. So Deborah watches him, and as they are walking, she's probably like, Barak, did God call you? Has he not spoken to you? You are a history maker. You were made for war. You were made to win. God is on our side. You can do this. I can imagine that for every mile, for 5 miles, she's reminding him of the call of God on his life, the vision of heaven for him. She's not saying, forget it, I'll fight for you, no problem, I'll take the battle. She didn't say that to him. She is saying, I'm not anointed to fight that battle, but I am anointed to walk with you and remind you that you can. That is the power of a man and woman. It doesn't mean that women don't fight battles and that men are not encouragers. Women just have a lot more words. Statistically, they do anyway. I think instead of using our words for criticism, we should use them for connection. I think we see the power of our words, and instead of Deborah walking with Barak and saying, come on, get it together. Come on, you can do this. I knew this was going to happen. You should have, you could have. She's not taking him down the avenue of fear and anxiety and to get him to suck it up and be. She's speaking to him and connecting him, and she is not holding it against him. She creates connection over criticism. And here's the coolest part. In Hebrews chapter 11, Barak's name is in the hall of faith. So even in the midst of this man not rising to the occasion, being afraid, telling him that he needs this leader to go with him, she knows, Barak, your story is not over. There is more. I see who you are made to be. You don't have to give up. You don't have to shrink back. You don't have to hide. I know your response initially looks like failure. It looks like you can't do this, like you're afraid to do this, but I am telling you that you can. We are going to do this. I'm going to walk with you. I can either criticize or connect, and I'm going to connect you with the story of God, connect you with your identity of Christ, in Christ, connect you to what God is doing here on earth. I'm using my voice against the weapons of the gates of hell, and I'm writing truth over your life. When women live in their identity in Christ, we can connect. We can connect each other. We can connect others to their stories, to the story of Christ, to healing, to transformation, to whom you are called to be on earth. But when we are not, we use our words for criticism and critique, and we walk through those doors and we create worlds of criticism. For some, they don't know how to be empowered when all they do is receive criticism from you. You want your kids to live powerful lives? Then you can't nag them all day long about what they are not doing right. If you want your husband to be a powerful man, then you can't belittle him and critique him and condemn him and then ask him to leave. So Deborah creates connection over criticism, and she built Barak up. In verse 9, she replies, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you're going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. I'm not reading this verse to highlight that the woman wins the battle. Ultimately, Barak won the battle because he did what the Lord told him to do. And when he got done walking with Deborah, the Bible says that he didn't just win the war, he chased the enemy out. He was so on fire with God that he literally fought the battle and then chased the enemy out. That is the power of a woman's words. It's the power of God, but it's also the power of a female voice reminding a man of his purpose on earth. I have created you for this, and you're literally creating and giving life and building up. There is so much anointing in it. The world wants to criticize men. I mean, look at sitcoms, look at movies. The guy is the joke, he just can't get it together. The woman is the empowered, brilliant, educated person. It's not that either one fits at times, but I think that it's really important as people of God, we are going to see everyone with value. Barak went from being a fearful, insecure man to being the man that he was called to be all along. He was lightning. You see, God put a special gift in us women to nurture life. I don't know why, but I know, what I know is that it's very evident in Scripture. If the worship team would go ahead and make their way up, I'm going to close with this thought. When Jesus was crucified, and we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, he was resurrected, he came out of the grave, and on the third day, and he was met by a human, and it was a woman. I cannot dismiss the correlation of the new coming king in the womb of a woman and the resurrected king being met by a woman as the safest place to land in the world. I don't have to be a birth mother. I am a woman, and because I'm a woman, I have an anointing to build and to see things that are in danger or in jeopardy because of culture, because of narratives, because of maybe being treated too harshly or being dismissed. And I'm a godly woman that can go in and say, that deserves to live. That deserves to grow. That deserves to be built. That deserves to be elevated. The battle belongs to the Lord, whether you're walking in your Nikes or whether you're carrying a sword in the battle. The battle belongs to him. He who began it will end it. And we just need to only contain the life he has put within us. Let's go ahead and pray. A lot has hit women in this generation. Struggle and battle and things come out of the silence to hurt us, but I ask now that you would empower us to not come in our own strength and authority. We were created on purpose to be here in this generation and to distribute and develop things. That we would be the safest place for our families to land, for our friends to land, for our community to land. God, I pray that you would help us to be a safe haven, to be a refuge. The minute that our children walk through the doors, when they come home from school and they might have got a little dirty from all of the world throughout the day, God, may we be a safe place for them. God, I pray that those that are married, that we would be a safe place for our husbands to land. That we would be encouragers and not criticizers. That we would know our purpose, that we would know what God's called us to be. That we would understand our true identity in Christ. And God, where there's confusion going on, I pray, Father, that you would bring clarity to it. That you would give us the words to speak in those times when we don't know what to say. That we would be in tune with you, Lord, so that we can be better women to our families, to our community, to this church. That we would speak words of life. And God, I want to pray for those that have young children in this place. God, you know the days ahead. You know the future. God, I just pray that you would be with those mamas as they're working hard, as they're chasing them around, as they're changing diapers, as they're trying to get to the next thing, Lord. God, I pray your peace over them. I pray, Father, that you would help them. And in the midnight hours when the baby's crying and they're so tired, Lord, give them the rest that they need. Help them to turn to you. Help them to turn their eyes on you and focus on you in those moments. And you will refresh them, Lord. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all the women in this room. I thank you for all the men in this room. I thank you who you've created us to be, Lord. You are an amazing God, and we love you. In your name, amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.